From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The gender gap persists in so many industries, often greater for women of color. One such gap in the field of medicine was the subject of a recent study. The Green Lining Institute, together with the Artemis Medical Society, published a report called Breaking Down Barriers for Women Physicians of Color. In it, researchers found that less than 12% of all physicians in the U.S. are women of color, and among doctors of color in general, there were far fewer women than men. The study points out that, quote, per the 2010 census, people of color are already the majority in four states, and by 2050, women of color will be the majority of all women in the United States. So why are so few women of color able to become doctors? My guest is Irene Kalimlim. She is the Bridges to Health intern at the Green Lining Institute and co-author of the study, Breaking Down Barriers for Women Physicians of Color. Welcome to the program, Irene.
It's great to be on the program. Thank you for having me.
So, of course, as I said, there's a gender gap in so many industries. My industry, women of color are in the minority. I used to be in the physical sciences, also a very much underrepresentation of women of color. In the field of medicine, we might imagine that there are more women of color than they are, maybe because of shows like Grey's Anatomy or whatever, but I guess the reality is quite stark. Give us a sense of the findings, just the numbers, and I mentioned a couple of them, but how underrepresented are women of color within the field of medicine? And I should say among physicians.
Yeah, so I think first, just in general, women versus males, just the breakdown in across all ethnicities, so that women physicians of color, which underrepresented minorities they define as African-American, Hispanic, Latino, Native American, as well as Pacific Islander, that across all of those, women of color are underrepresented, and the aggregate together is 11.7% of that are women physicians of color. And in terms of the overall breakdown in the population, it's about 30% of the population. So it's very underrepresented in the medical field.
So as part of this research, you talked to a number of women in the field. What did they tell you about the barriers that they faced, that they obviously managed to overcome, but maybe others didn't, when they were pursuing even their studies? I mean, the path to becoming a doctor is a lengthy and arduous one for good reason. So it usually starts with an interest in science in school, but then you have to keep that all the way through medical school.
So there's a lot of different, a long journey. And even from as young as elementary school, middle school, high school, a lot of the women we interviewed mentioned that it's very important in order to become a doctor, to have a very strong science and math background. And for a lot of women of color who might be coming from areas where there is an underrepresentation in medicine, that they might come from schools where there isn't a high science background. And I think a lot of other people mentioned too the importance of being able to see representation in your community, in your family, or in your community of other women physicians of color, to aspire to that and know that it's something that you can become. And a lot of people were lacking that. And
so just seeing examples in their own families and communities, it's hard to find. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think because of that too, of not having the image of women of color being able to become physicians, about 40% of the people we interviewed mentioned specifically an incident where their high school counselor, career counselor, when they had mentioned that they wanted to go to a university to pursue pre-medical coursework, were actually dissuaded from doing that or encouraged to instead maybe pursue nursing or another related health field, but not a physician, because some doubts on whether they would be qualified, or just a lot of telling them that it's a very difficult process, and in a way that's very undermining. We want to be lifting up and encouraging people to become physicians. And oftentimes these people were high performing in their high schools And so I think that was something that they'd mentioned.
So just being discouraged even when they wanted to pursue it. Interesting.
Right. And it extends. Yeah, that's only just the prior to entering into the pre-medical coursework. Another important touch point that a lot of people mention is in the pre-medical coursework, the first chemistry class. And I myself, when I had entered school, was also pre-med, and myself and a lot of my peers, because that's like kind of your first exposure to medicine, and oftentimes it's a very difficult class, and having not that equal amount of like strong science background, or maybe not having a peer network or mentorship at that stage, can discourage a lot of people to drop out at that point.
So essentially at every level you get a sort of weeding out that women of color are subjected to. And then of course, by the time they reach medical school, there's just not that many of them. Are there also barriers within medical school?
Yes. And I think another thing I wanted to mention too, like in our study, we really wanted to get an equal sampling of women from underrepresented in medicine backgrounds. Again, with the groups I mentioned, with African American, Latina, Native American, and Pacific Islander, but for certain subgroups, it was very difficult to be able to get a lot of women physicians to reach out to, because I think of the lack of numbers in those. So, for example, the Latina physicians, as well as Native American and Pacific Islander, we had a harder time reaching out to. So it's potentially because of some of this weeding out at the earlier stage. But you're asking about now at the
Medical school level. I mean, the kinds of rigors of medical school is obviously extremely rigorous. Do women of color find that when they experience that process that they are sometimes disadvantaged?
Yeah. So at medical school, some of the things they mentioned in their experiences that I did want to lift up is like now, as we're seeing the population of California definitely currently, and as well as the United States in the future, is going to become the majority of people of color, that it's important to have a physician workforce that is sensitive to that needs, that understands that for different cultural populations, they might have different health needs or different cultural beliefs that impact the sort of care that they need to receive. And so it's very important to have that at the medical school level. And I think because of with the medical school faculty and leadership, the percentage of women of color in those positions are actually 7%. So that's also very low. And so some of the people we mentioned mentioned that in the curriculum that they receive, that they experience certain things in the classroom where where some of the faculty might make comments that are a little bit offensive, or a lot of times, like they would mention vignettes of patients and they would go through different characteristics. And sometimes race wasn't mentioned, but other times they would have race associated with certain negative patient characteristics. So mentioning vignettes of African American patients that are suffering higher rates of an STD case or HIV case, and they felt like they didn't
have racist comments by the teaching staff at medical schools.
Yeah,
discouraged students who might be women of color.
Oftentimes, like maybe they felt like when they were voicing their opinions that it wasn't as valued as some of their peers, or they would maybe try to participate in class, but a classmate that might be a white classmate or a different classmate might have their thoughts more readily accepted than theirs.
Same sorts of kind of racial discrimination you might see in schools in general, of course, replicate in medical school. You, in your study, cite the experience of Dr. Tamika Cross, who in October 2016, on a flight, a Delta Airlines flight, offered to treat a sick passenger, but a white flight attendant said they needed a, quote, actual physician. So for women of color who do manage to get through the incredible obstacles and become physicians, What are some of the problems that they face, even just in their day-to-day jobs, that might, make them want to leave the field sometimes?
Yeah, and actually that incident at the Delta Airlines flight, I think was what kind of jump-started wanting us in the Artemis Medical Society, which is a national collective of women physicians of color, to want to actually look into this issue because so many of their doctors started speaking out about how they experienced those similar things about they would come into, say, their clinical practice or to they would come into their clinical practice and other doctors, as well as also from the patients, often mistake them as a nurse, or even when they would say, "I'm the doctor," would refer to them as nurse, or they felt like each time stepping into their practice, stepping into the room, stepping into various spaces, that they have to assert themselves and make clear that they are actually certified physicians. And I think in the medical school, it is changing. There are a lot of like now cultural sensitivity trainings and implicit bias, and there's a better understanding of needing to increase diversity. But I think in some of the instances that we saw with our interviewees, where they actually felt like they experienced a case of discrimination or bias or sexism, that maybe at the residency level in hospitals, maybe there weren't as many places, things in place for them to report any incidents of bias, or if they did report it, nothing would come out of it.
Now, what about the systemic barriers facing women of color? It costs money to pursue higher education. Medical students often have to go deep into debt to just get past it. And then, if they do become a physician, they might start earning enough money to start paying back that debt. That's sadly becoming less and less easy to do these days. People of color in general have greater barriers to higher education. Women of color, I imagine, more so. Did that also become a focus in your study?
Financially, a lot of them mentioned barriers because in the process of applying to medical school, you have to spend upwards of thousands of dollars in just the application fees for each of the schools. You're required to fly out to do interviews. And for a lot of women of color that might have jobs or family responsibilities, it's really hard to burden that sort of cost and be able to participate in that way. And additionally, too, a lot of people had mentioned, like, even to apply baseline, most people need to take this MCAT preparatory course, which is also very costly and requires a lot of extra time to be able to do. And just in generally, it's hard when you don't have that sort of support. And even too, like with all that process, you kind of have to know that there's like a lot of steps, and it's important to have like guidance at that point on how do you do this part, how do you what do you expect at each step of the process. And I think for a lot of women of color, without having that mentorship or without having examples of people in their network to know what that's like, they're kind of on their own and figuring that out.
Irene, what about the benefits to society as a whole? And we touched on this a little bit earlier in terms of people feeling like they have mentors in communities. The more women of color physicians there are, the more little brown and black girls feel like they could see themselves in that role. And also, of course, for an increasingly diverse population. I know as a woman, I prefer female doctors. No offense to men, but that's just sometimes you feel like a woman doctor can understand your body better. As a woman of color, often women of color feel like they simply relate culturally better to a woman who might have experienced racism like they have, or might just know the challenges of being a woman of color and just existing and living and overcoming societal biases on a daily basis. How important is it for society in general to have more women of color as physicians, at least to the point where there's parity with the population breakdown?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it's important to have representation. So, like having a diverse physician workforce not only benefits people of the same cultural background as the physician, because as you mentioned, patients can feel a better comfort. Their physicians might be able to understand some of the cultural considerations on
sometimes there's language issues as well. Yeah,
but I think in general, it even having a diverse workforce has benefits for everyone, because say in medical school, having that diversity means that you have a greater exposure to different ideas about health disparities and how to treat that, because they're bringing in their own experiences growing up and seeing the different cultural beliefs about health. And
what are some of the things that your study recommends needs to happen to address this disparity?
So there's a lot of different touch points where there is potential to improve or change. One, definitely on the health sector, we see the need to invest more in these sort of training programs and mentorship programs, which are usually termed like health pipeline programs, to help people move forward. And one mechanism for that, we believe, is with nonprofit hospitals. They have community benefits where they're required to help improve the communities they work in. And a lot of hospital systems now are investing in like health scholarships for people, or like exposure programs for young children in elementary school to the medical field. Another, within medical school, we think there needs to be a greater focus on increasing both student diversity, but also definitely an important point we mentioned was the faculty and leadership diversity, so that for all these doctors that are getting training to try to serve a more diverse workforce, that they're understanding how to be culturally competent and reducing some of that implicit bias. Going with the bias comment and with the incident with Tamika Cross, we really think that there just needs to be more visibility on who, on how different, how the physicians can be a more diverse workforce, and bringing visibility to women physicians of color. And there's actually some campaigns, like Twitter campaigns, that are focused around that, like the hashtag I'm a physician or hashtag what a doctor looks like. We think more of that needs to be done, as well as within the hospitals, putting in better better mechanisms to report incidents of like discrimination, increasing like pay equity or like maternity leave sort of policies for women physicians, because that was something a lot of them had mentioned too, on feeling discrimination on around wanting to have families or having children.
Well, Irene, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website for the Green Learning Institute?
The whole report is available online, that goes more in depth into some of their experiences. So you can go to greenlining.org. And also wanted to promote the Artemis Medical Society, which is the collective of women physicians of color. And theirs is artemismedicalsociety.org.
And we'll post a link to the report directly from our website later today as well. Irene, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Irene Kalimlim. She is the Bridges to Health intern at the Green Learning Institute. We've been discussing the study she's co-authored called Breaking Down Barriers for Women Physicians of Color. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.